Well, thank you very much, Choir. Wasn't that amazing? That was really, really lovely. And it's great to have people here in our service. Actually, I'm finding probably the most relaxing and sort of laid-back carol service I've ever been to. I let all the choir do all the heavy lifting in the singing and just enjoy it as a part of the congregation. I hope you're enjoying it at home as well as you sing along. It goes without saying that 2020 has been an awful year. And I really felt that as I was thinking about what I was going to speak on tonight. Not because there's not enough to speak on. In fact, the Bible speaks an awful lot about some of the things we've been facing. And in many ways, 2020 is the year when we have an opportunity to truly get what Christmas is about, if we take it. Now, I was really wondering what particular would the Lord have me speak about. In fact, it was such a problem that Saturday morning I'd written a talk yesterday morning and realised actually that wasn't the thing to say. And so I started from scratch yesterday. And that was because I was struck again by the unusual Christmas story of the woman who was waiting for Christmas. Some of you will know this story because it's in the Bible. But it's a very striking one. It's about a woman who is waiting for Christmas and who suddenly discovered that Christmas was standing in front of her and it transformed her life. So let me take you back 2,000 years outside a city to a well. And it's a woman waiting for Christmas because we read in the Bible that she says to the man she meets there, who is Jesus, she says, "I know Messiah is coming." So what's the Messiah? The Messiah is Jesus' King, sent to rescue his people from a plight far worse than 2020 has thrown at us. She is waiting for Christmas. She doesn't realise it. She's never even heard the word. She's never celebrated a Christmas, but she's waiting for the Messiah. And Christmas is about his birth. So we start with a well. She's gone out there every day because this well represents water. And water represents life. We miss that because we have running taps and we just get casual about water. And for me, certainly, of all the drinks you could offer me, water is bottom, well down the list. But for her, it's an essential that she can't assume. So every day she goes out to the well to draw water. Why? So that she will get through the next day. It represents life. But pretty soon, as we read this story of this woman and her encounter with Jesus, we realize that this is to be understood not just literally, but metaphorically as well. This woman has other wells she goes to get her through the day. One is relationships. We read that she has had five significant relationships, four of them marriage. Now, in that culture, that was a large number. And she sees relationships as part of what will get her through the day. She sees men in particular, presumably as partly a security thing in that culture and that era, but also as providing emotional enrichment, sexual fulfillment, and an escape of loneliness. Another well is that of identity. She enters into a debate with Jesus about her nationality and her belief systems and his belief systems. And she can go back to the city and find a whole bunch of people who agree with her. And that's why I thought about that for this year. 2020 has been a challenging year. And each of us has had our wells, like she had. We go to them to get us through the day. And much of them are the same as hers. Food and drink, not because we need it, but because it brings us sort of pleasure. A coffee at the beginning of the day to get the day going. Maybe something slightly stronger at the end of the day, just to relax at the end. And chocolate, okay, it's not physiologically good for you, but it's very important for your emotional health, isn't it? It gets you through. But we also look to relationships. That hug, seeing the family we haven't seen all year, seeing the friend. And of course, the wells of identity, belief systems, religion, things that we have a tribe who agree with us on. Isn't that what Twitter's about? Finding a tribe who we agree with in order to make us feel that we can get through another day. We have some other ones which she wouldn't have had such access to. Entertainment. Hasn't box sets been a blessing during lockdown, as we haven't been able to get out, but we've been able to watch our different shows, or watching Strictly Come Dancing, or whatever is your thing. At the end of the day, sitting back, de-stressing, unwinding as we go to the well of entertainment. And then there's also buying, shopping. Isn't it interesting that not very long ago, a ring at the doorbell would fill you with dread that when you went there, you would meet a Jehovah's Witness. But now you are filled with excitement at the hope of an Amazon delivery man or woman coming with the next treasure. And isn't it wonderful? It's lovely, these wells we go to. How do we spot a well in our lives? Well, here's how. We normally end up talking about needing them. I do this all the time. I need a coffee. I need a holiday. I need that person, that hug. I need. So we all have wells like this woman that we go to get us through. And then along comes Jesus, and he offers her something completely different. He says this to her: if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And he goes on to say, everyone who drinks this water, talking about the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In that, he does a sneaky diagnosis of our wells. Did you notice it? He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. You see, that's the first problem with our wells. We have to keep coming back to them. They don't last. Their impact doesn't last. Just as that woman every day would have to come back to that well, so we have to come back to our box sets, back to our relationships, back to our chocolate, back to our drink, back to our drugs, back to that relationship, back to searching for that relationship. They actually become a ball and chain around us. They stop our orbit from going too far away from them. They enslave us a bit. Also, they run dry and we run dry. So one day this well would fail. So do our wells. And maybe we've experienced that this year. That box set is great, but now I've reached season 29, it's becoming just a little bit predictable. I'm now watching it really out of habit. This is not quite giving me the kick it once did. They run dry, or maybe I can't get to them. I can't see that person. I'm on my own. And sometimes we run dry. One day we will finally run dry. That well would still be there, but one day the woman would stop coming. Because no well keeps you going forever. Pretty devastating diagnosis, isn't it? These wells are good things often. But Jesus says they're not enough. Have a bigger vision. Have a bigger dream this Christmas, he's saying to this woman. Because he then offers her something stunning. He says, I bring a spring of living water. It will be a spring in you that wells up to eternal life. And a spring is so much better. You see, whereas these wells are good and often in and of themselves, we become a bit desperate about them. Another way of telling whether something is a well for you is when it becomes threatened, when that relationship becomes threatened, that opportunity, that commodity you like. When it becomes threatened, you will find yourself doing things that you would criticize others for doing if they did it. Maybe they did it in protection of their wells, which are different from yours. Jesus offers us something so much better than a well. A spring of living water welling up to eternal life. A spring, it's a fresh supply. The water from the well will keep you going for the next day, and it is refreshing a bit. But it's a bit muddy. It's a bit warm. Jesus is offering us that bitingly cold refreshment. He says later on, I have come that they might have life and life in all its fullness. But also it's a spring in us. The problem with the well is sometimes we will be cut off from the well. In fact, this woman couldn't come earlier in the day for reasons we can talk about another time. She couldn't come whenever she wanted, but now the spring is in her, Jesus says. He's offering to make it in her, so wherever she is, she will feel this refreshment. And it's not just for the next day or the day after or for 70 years of days. It is eternal. It is forever. Let me tell you about three people. Three different needs. They're real people. One person has physical needs. Extreme physical needs. It's not clear how often they'll get through the day. Another person has deep relational needs. The person they're married to has betrayed them, isn't very nice to them, but they are sticking at it. And the third person has identity needs. They've been falsely accused and they have no way of clearing their name. Three different people, different experiences, but with one common thread. They are some of the most joyful people I know. Why? Because they have this spring of living water. Wells have been taken away from them, but they know the spring of living water, and so they know joy. That's what's here before us. That's what we can grasp this Christmas like no other time. This woman is too good to be true. And initially she deflects. She uses humour. She says to Jesus when he offers her water, ah, well, I see that the well is deep and you do not have a jar. How will you offer me water? And then the humour takes a biting edge. As she says, do you think you're better than thy ancestor who dug this well? Too often we deflect from Jesus' offer with humour. Then she tries to enter into debate. And she goes into a whole conversation about what the Jews believe and what she, the Samaritan, as part of the Samaritans, believe. And it's that whole sort of thing, well, how can you really say that you're true, Jesus? How can you really? There's Hindus and Muslims out there and everything else. Oh, let's have a debate about this. It's a way of deflecting. Why? I think because deep down, wells are objects that we can control. The spring is a king who demands our life. But you know, she does choose the spring. Why do we know that? So the last part of the story says this. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. That's madness. The water jar is why she came to the well to fill it. But she's now met Jesus. She leaves it behind. Now, don't get me wrong. She's going to pick it up later and fill the well. I'm not saying the well is wrong. But she realizes that she has something so much more precious than the well that she has gone to every day. And that's what we have before us. What have been your wells during 2020 that have got you through day to day? Jesus stands before you, the Messiah, the King, the true Christmas you have been waiting for stands before you and offers you living water. And he says, let go of those other wells. Come to me. I said at the beginning, 2020 has been an awful year. But do you know what? If you make Jesus your spring of living water this year, you've got a few days left. 2020 will be the best year of your whole life. And that is a life that will stretch into eternity. Not because suddenly every other year is going to be awful, but because you found the spring of living water. Whether that is because you've never known Jesus and you're hearing about this for the first time, or maybe you have been following him, but you've also been worshipping those other wells. Let go and take hold of Jesus, the spring of living water. Amen.